Hello, this is Adam Nagel, and I'm your moderator this evening. I am here with State Senator Anthony Williams, State Senator Tim Carney, and in partnership with the Delaware County Black Caucus, and we would like to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Williams, Senator Carney, or any of their guests, please press star 3 at any time on your phone's keypad. Let's now welcome Senator Anthony Williams.
Good evening. Thank you for all calling in and participating tonight. I certainly want to thank my co-host, Tim Carney. But for those of you who are signing on tonight, this is sponsored primarily by the Delaware County Black Caucus, which was formed in 2018. We're an organization which is simply involved to make sure that those who are need advocacy and those who are interested in the quality of life, improvement of quality of life for African Americans living in Delaware County, have an organization that supports them. I'm proud to have many hosts tonight, of which my partner, Senator Tim Carney, and I will introduce to you as we flow through the evening. But let me introduce you to those who don't know and those who are well known about my colleague, Senator Tim Carney, who is a longtime community leader, chair of the Swarthmore Borough Planning Commission for 7 years, and of course, mayor of Swarthmore for a number of years before he moved on to the state senate. What makes Tim extraordinarily exceptional is that long before it was popular, he was an advocate for protecting the environment, sustainable practices. He fought for fair and equitable policies in policing, and certainly was an advocate for those who are in the LGBTQ community. I consider him a friend. I consider him a supporter, and certainly tonight I'm delighted that he is partnering with me to do this event. And so I'll turn it to my friend, Tim Carney.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Williams. And thanks, everybody, for joining us here today. As Tony said, I am Senator Tim Carney, and I represent parts of Delaware and Chester counties. And one of the reasons I'm so proud to represent the 26th District is because of its rich diversity. And it's also why I think it's so important to have this call today. Racial disparities that exist for people of color have been pushed to the forefront by this pandemic. Long before the outbreak of COVID-19, African Americans already had higher rates of asthma, high blood pressure, and other chronic diseases, problems that have only been compounded by our current crisis. And this isn't only a public health emergency, it's also an economic one too. People of color represent a larger portion of workers who cannot work from home and aren't always afforded basic safeguards like protective gear or hazard pay. Many children of color are home right now without a means to continue their education because our public schools have been underfunded over the years and can't provide laptops for all their students. This outside impact on African Americans reflects a decades-long disinvestment in communities of color, from public health to education to housing. And as we focus on the road ahead, we must understand that going back to normal is not good enough. Because let's face it, normal failed people of color. Critical that our recovery efforts correspond to the unique needs of our hardest hit communities. I hope this call could be a starting point to discuss what that looks like, and how we can work to right the wrongs that have led to these inequities. With that, I want to thank everybody again for calling in tonight, and turn it back over to Tony Williams.
Thank you, Tim. Our first guest is a person of distinction beyond just serving in Congress. Congresswoman Mary Gay Scanlon, an education and human rights advocate, currently represents Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District. She was first sworn in the House of Representatives on November 13th, 2018, but before that, her service to many, many, many of us is exemplary. She previously served as a national pro bono counsel at a major U.S. law firm where she directed and supervised over 600 lawyers in 15 offices, providing more than 50,000 hours of pro bono, that's free, legal services annually to low-income clients and nonprofit organizations. In addition to that, she also served as an attorney of the Education Law Center, as president of her local school board and as co-chair of the Voting Rights Task Force of the Associates of Pro Bono Counsel. Congresswoman is currently fighting in Washington, D.C., and I mean fighting, for a lot of the issues that we are significantly concerned about, that may be voting rights, education, common sense gun laws and legislation, and now she has the pandemic and pushing against an administration that I'm not quite sure gets it. But nonetheless, I'd like to introduce to you our friend, Congresswoman Mary Gay Scanlon.
Thank you so much, Senator Williams. And I want to thank the Delaware County Black Caucus and Senator Kearney and yourself for organizing the town hall tonight. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to hear from the caucus and members of our community during what is an incredibly challenging time for families in our region and across the country. You know, as Senator Kearney mentioned, if there's one clear lesson from this pandemic so far, it's that for communities that were already struggling, everything got worse. I mean, whether it was access to education, healthcare, unemployment, gun violence, it got worse. And as you said, Senator Williams, you are absolutely right. The guy in the White House doesn't get it. So as we discuss our path forward, we have to talk about how we're going to close these gaps instead of widening them or cementing them into permanency. And that's the big challenge. I want to take a couple minutes and just share an update on what we're doing with our congressional office and how we're trying to be a resource to folks in the community. One of my colleagues, one of my mentors in Congress, said the two things we can do are communicate and legislate. So communicate, we hear from people. And we've been hearing from people, you know, the last couple months, just tens of thousands of calls on how can I get help, what's going on. And that's been really helpful. We really encourage people to call because that helps me go back to Congress and say, no, we need this in the next legislation. You know, we need to expand unemployment insurance. We need another stimulus check. We need to get the bugs out of the system so the money we've already said should flow actually gets into people's pockets. So the communicating is part of it. The legislating is the other part. So in the last 2 months since the beginning of March, Congress has passed four federal relief packages, over $2 trillion, which is a little bit more than the Republican tax cut of a couple years ago. But it was supposed to go for testing, medical supplies, PPE, funding for stimulus checks, unemployment compensation, small business relief, so that folks can survive the economic disruption that's being caused by this coronavirus. But it hasn't been easy to get that legislation passed. With each successive bill, there's been a bigger battle between the House majority and the Senate and White House, because the Senate and White House have only wanted to focus on corporate relief, big business relief. And we've had to fight every step of the way for direct payments to families, relief for small businesses, help for our state and local governments. So that's why even though we've passed all this relief, the administration hasn't been rushing to get the money out the door. It wasn't their idea, and they've been slow walking it. So with each bill, we're trying to push more and remove more of the roadblocks so we can get real help out to the people in our community. Today, the House filed a proposal for a fourth relief package to help families. It includes legislation to get more stimulus money into the pockets of the folks who need it most. It includes rent relief, expansion of SNAP and hunger relief, more money for our state and local governments, money for the Postal Service. We know this is going to be a fight because the Senate and the White House have said, oh, we think we're fine now. We don't think we need anything else. We want to just open up the country and let the money flow and the stock market will be great. I don't think that's the way it's going. That's not what the scientists are saying. I don't want to lie to people. We got a long way to go with this disease because the federal government has not been focusing on getting enough tests out there, getting enough medical supplies out there. You know, it doesn't do us a lot of good to just stay inside if we're not making progress on the medical part. So we've got a ways to go, and we need people to continue listening to the doctors and the scientists so they can keep themselves and their families safe. As we mentioned, the coronavirus has made some issues worse. A couple I want to talk about in particular. The first big obvious one is the health in our already underserved communities. Coronavirus is proving particularly deadly to Black Americans, not because of any inherent susceptibility, but because of the cumulative pre-existing conditions of income inequality, poor housing, inadequate health care, and the stress of living with structural racism. So our office has been reaching out to healthcare providers for this community, including the Black Doctors Group that did such a great job today at the Laborers Hall in Chester providing testing. And we're really committed to continuing to talk with the folks who are on the front lines in providing healthcare So how do we help narrow this gap? How do we help make sure that we're not having so many more Black Americans get sick, die, because they're not getting what they needed in the first place? So that's a big thing. Before we got into this issue, I had joined with colleagues to form the Black Maternal Health Caucus in Congress. And just at the beginning of March, we introduced a bill. You know, when they have a big bill in Congress, they call it an omnibus, but because this bill has to do with Black maternal health, it's called a momnibus. So it was a package of 8 bills that would help us do a better job for maternal health in our country, because we have the worst record in terms of maternal health of any developed country, and it's getting worse. And we know that the results for women of color are worse than for the rest of the population. So we just need to do a lot better job there. But now that we have more women in Congress, and now that we have more Black women in Congress, there's finally some sentiment to do something about it. So we're going to keep pressing on that issue. The other big issue that I think this the pandemic has really exposed is this digital divide, the fact that everyone's trying to move to online education, online healthcare, online census, online voting, and big chunks of our community can't get online. Either they don't have internet access in their neighborhood, or they can't afford to get online. So we should not be crowdsourcing computers for kids in Chester and kids in Philadelphia. We need to make that part of the package of relief, and we are working to do that as well. So I'll let us get to questions, but I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be with you tonight and to hear what's going on and try to explain a little bit of what we're trying to do in D.C. So thank you.
Thank you. Tim, you want to introduce our next guest? Before we do that, be reminded, all you have to do is push *3 in order to ask a question. We encourage questions to be fielded. Before we get to questions, we're going to have all of our folks speak.
Okay. Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Congresswoman. Next, we're going to hear from Jean Kasner. Jean serves as the director of the Chester County Department of Health, which I hope everybody knows has actually the Chester County Department of Health has adopted Delaware County and really been our a strong advocate for us as we navigate this difficult time. Jean's worked in public health for nearly 30 years, including at the CDC. And we're much better off in Delaware County now because she's been looking out for us over the last month or so. So now, Director Kasner, over to you.
Oh, thank you, Senator. I you're showing my age by expressing how many years I've been in public health. And thank you for the caucus and everyone else for joining us. This is a great opportunity. I like it when we can focus in on a specific topic, particularly a specific population. So I'm going to echo some of what has already been shared so well. We know that with so many health issues and health crises much like this, and this is not the only one we see this in, racial and ethnic minority groups are disproportionately affected, across the social, the economic, the health, the emotional. They make up our population densities. They live in multi-generational households. They're overrepresented in our jails and our prisons, our detention centers. They make up a huge majority of our workforce that is now, in our essential services industry. They don't have sick pay in many situations, and as we heard before, they have a lot of underlying health conditions. So when we started in this response in Chester County and then later adopted Delaware County, We didn't wait for the data to tell us it was going to be disproportionately affected. We just started with that assumption. It's a likely safe assumption to make with any of these big events. So when we started with that assumption, we immediately pulled in a comprehensive approach to how public health was going to look at this crisis and serve it. Yes, there's testing. Yes, there's, you know, investigations and contact tracing. But more importantly, we kind of wrapped around all the other departments in both counties to include the human services, mental health, drug and addiction services, the justice services, and really started to touch on lots of different areas where we could potentially have an impact on trying to lessen the burden for the you know, African American and also for other minority groups. I'm not sure how many folks realize or come into this call from Chester County, but we have a very large Hispanic Guatemalan population in our southern Chester County, and frankly, they're the stronghold, you know, for our mushroom industry, which is, you know, a huge industry and world renowned here in Chester County. So, you know, and I'm going to speak across both counties and not specific to any one of them. When we began working with the jail in Delaware County and the prison in Chester County, it was an opportunity to look at how can we take other measures and beyond just the health and wellness within these facilities, but how could we work with the justice system overall to try to get folks out of the jail if they were close to their time or had you know, lesser offenses. And that was super successful in terms of reducing how many people were in a congregate care setting. As you know, congregate care settings, whether it's a nursing home or a jail or even like a mushroom farm, the rate at which this virus transmits tends to increase. We also, and then within those two facilities, we had assigned folks who worked with them on the healthcare side of it, how to protect those coming in and out, so new entries in or even limiting entries into the jail and prison, as well as how to maintain health once they're in there. And while it was, you know, peaked in the beginning, we're seeing a lot more stability in those facilities. We had a great effort around homeless populations, and they are disproportionately minority populations, and really, and I think Delaware County did a fantastic job of this in setting up some temporary sites to include some medical oversight, cots and blankets and food and all sorts of services. And then in Chester County, we were able to secure a different location for people to go to if they were coronavirus impacted and needed a place to stay before they could return to a congregate setting. School lunches, as you know, that was, you know, we assisted in the beginning, and then the schools just really took it on with wholeheartedness to ensure kids who need food the most were able to continue to rely on that at least through the school year for those meals that they were used to getting while in the school. I know Congresswoman mentioned the Black Doctors Group. It went really well today, and we immediately in Chester County want to kind of mirror that in City of Coatesville, and we're working with a local health foundation to get that going. There's some mobile testing that's being set up in Coatesville with the explicit goal of getting to the hard-to-reach populations and then minority populations. So if you look at the data online, minority groups and minority communities are being tested. We just aren't happy with the volume of testing. So because they're living in high-dense areas, while we're testing a lot of them, proportionately it's not enough to really get a good picture of it. So that's where we're trying to push with the mobile testing. We're also trying to support our federally qualified health centers. So there are several in Chester County. There is one ChestPen in Delaware County. These tend to be positioned in high need areas, and it is you know, a good public health strategy to enhance what is already in place in communities such as these health centers to empower them and equip them to do testing and frankly become a medical home for some folks. We're super proud that in both counties, if someone does not have a provider and needs to be screened or assessed, we can do that at no cost by calling the Chester County Health Department at 610-344-6225. We can hook you up with a clinician over the phone. If needed, they can hook up via video if the individual has that ability. It's a short conversation to assess if they need to be tested for coronavirus. And if they are, we can direct them with testing and provide that as a prescription to them, because many of the testing sites still require a physician prescription, or it's called a physician order. So there is a lot going on with always a focus of how do we make this part and parcel to our minority population. We know in the city of Chester, they're doing a phenomenal job, and I'm not going to speak to that too much because I know we have the mayor here. But we're also seeing that in the city of Coatesville in Chester County, where we're really taking the existing messaging and tailoring it and getting it out, kind of boots on the ground, quite frankly, handing out masks, using the police, and having trusted local leaders be the face for those communities.
Madam Director, I apologize. This is Senator Williams. We have about an hour, and we want to make sure
we
have a lot of
I'm
questions.
Done.
And so that's okay. So, Senator Carney, why don't you introduce the mayor?
Sure. Thank you, Jay, for that. We're so glad that you're on our side through this whole thing. Our next honored guest is a man who we really don't have time to even go through to introduce him properly. Mayor Kirkland has been synonymous with Chester City and with Delaware County for a few years. That's he served in the in the House representing the 159th from starting in 92, I think, is the first time he got elected. But he's been a fixture in the community of Chester City, and he's the pastor of the Community Baptist Church. He's been the mayor since 2016, and if we tried to list all the things that he's been involved with and all the awards that he's won, I don't think we could. Like I said before, we don't have time. So at this point, I'm just happy to introduce a man I'm happy to call my friend, Mayor Thaddeus Kirkland.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Carney, my friend, and thank you, Senator Williams, my friend. But thank you both for hosting this teleconference. This is something that I think is desperately needed more now than ever as we get the message out to folks who are going through a very trying and painful time right now. Here in the city of Chester, this pandemic has hit home and hit home hard, hit home in a way that has right now has left a trail of devastation. But we do, this is a very hopeful community, and we do see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I want to just talk about a little bit about how the pandemic has affected us here in the city of Chester. You know, we have a Harrah's Casino, and we have our soccer stadium and some other businesses that were crippled by this pandemic. And by them being crippled, our financial situation became very devastated. A number of our workers here in the city had to be laid off for now. Approximately about 130 workers, which is, and now we're working on with a shoestring body of people here in City Hall to keep government moving. But when you have to build bricks without straw, you do what you have to do. And so we're moving slowly but surely. It just seems like just when we're about to turn that financial corner, the pandemic came. I do want to say that we were excited about the fact that we partnered. Let me say that again. We partnered with a number of organizations and groups that helped us make this day a successful day, a day of testing. We have been trying to get testing in the city of Chester for quite some time now. As was stated earlier, everyone knows that the African-American community is disproportionately affected by this pandemic. And not only testing-wise, but death-wise. And so it was important that we partnered with some very influential partners to make this day a success. And so I would be remiss if I did not give out a shout to Delaware County Black Caucus, of which I am a member and is headed up by Senator Williams. I would be remiss if I did not talk about their great support in helping bring this together. Labor's Local 413, under leadership of James Harper, working with those fine men and women to make sure that we had a safe place and everything was decent and in order. The rest of Chester City Council, my colleagues on Chester City Council who helped make this a great day. State Representative Brian Kirkland, who has pitched in financially and helped and was down at the event working along with us. Our very own Dr. Hannum and the Chester City Health Board. We were so proud of all the work that they put in. But the stars of the show today were the Black Doctors of Philadelphia. They came out in doctors and nurses. They came out in students as well in large numbers. They worked around the clock from 9 a.m. to well after 5 p.m., making sure that each and every person had an opportunity to be tested. They made a commitment. They said, we're not leaving until every person who came to be tested is tested. And so I want to say thank you, a special thank you, to those doctors who came out and worked with our community. Our community was so appreciative. Folks wanted to get tested. They wanted to know where they stand health-wise and what they needed to do next. I also want to thank the community here in the city of Chester because on the whole, the majority of the folks have been following the guidelines, social distancing, washing of the hands, the elbow bump, the coughing into the arm, and just making sure that they're not congregating in large numbers. I am so, so proud of the folks. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, but we have to do what we have to do to get through this and proceed to the new normal. So I just want to say to all of you guys, thank you for having me and inviting me because I think this is important. I want to get to the questions to see what the folks have to say and maybe some answers, not just questions, but maybe some answers that will help us better each and every one of our communities. So thank all of you for the invitation to be on this line.
And to our special guest tonight, we thank you all for being here. To our Congresswoman, to our health director, to our mayor, we thank you for being here. Now it's your turn to ask questions. We have a whole host. Now, I will remind you, we're going to allow you to ask a question, please. We only have about a half hour left. We want to get to as many questions as possible. So please ask your question and then hang up, and we'll try to give you the best response we can. We're going to start off with Senator Carney picking the first question.
Well, thank you, Senator Williams. Let's go to Ethel Keys in Darby.
Yes, hi. Hello?
Ethel, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Yes. I wanted to find out what I can do to find out about my stimulus. Food prices are starting to soar, and I understand that there's even discussions of a second stimulus. However, I haven't received the first one.
I think that's a question for the federal side. Is that right?
Yep.
Hi, Ethel.
Hi.
This is one of the areas. So this is Congresswoman Scanlon. It's going to depend on how much information that the IRS has about you. If you filed a tax return this year or last year and you gave them your bank information, gave the IRS your bank information so they could give you a refund, you should have already gotten a check. If that's not the case, or if you don't file taxes or you get Social Security, you should get it through that way. So it's going to depend a little bit on your particular circumstances. If you haven't gone yet, the IRS has a website where you can put in your information to get your check, and they just let us know last night that they're going to cut off the time for taking that information tomorrow. So if you haven't been to the IRS website yet, I'd recommend doing that. If none of this is answering your question, and I don't want you giving out a lot of personal information on the phone, you can call our office, which is 610-626-2020, and somebody can get back to you and try to help you figure it out. But hopefully, you know, if you get Social Security or if you've filed tax returns in the last couple of years, they should be sending you a check. They can only send out so many paper checks a month. A week, and so it's going to take them a couple months to get all the checks out. So it should still be coming if you haven't seen it yet. And then, yes, we know that it is not enough. $1,200 is not enough to get families through months. So in the bill that the House filed today, we would do another round of stimulus checks, but we've got to get the Senate to agree. I hope that helps.
Thank you. Remind those who are listening, who are on the phone, who are not members of the Delaware County Black Caucus, you can become a member. Once a year, we take enrollment. We encourage you to do that. Before the end of this call tonight, we will provide you the website, which you can go and find out about many of our activities going forward. And by the way, I'm not the head. I appreciate that, Mr. Mayor. There's five of us, five conveners, who work very hard and diligently to make sure we're sort of organized. And before the night is over, we'll also introduce them to you as well. The next question is coming from Alicia Myricks from Upper Darby.
Yes, hi. How are you all doing tonight?
Well.
Yes, I actually have two questions. The first question is, everyone is saying that they are following the CDC guidelines as far as wearing the mask. However, for the state of Pennsylvania as well as CDC, for CDC it states that if you have trouble breathing, that you shouldn't wear a mask. So trouble breathing would include anyone with like COPD and asthma and things like that. And then per Dr. Rachel Levine, when she wrote her mandate, she said if you have a medical condition, you shouldn't wear a mask. However, hospitals are enforcing that you wear a mask even though they know that you have the breathing conditions where you can't. And then the second question is why are we so fixated on a vaccine and social distancing? Whatever happened to natural immunity? You know, I have family members that have never in their lifetime had a vaccine, and they've never gotten sick, but now they have this thing hovering over their head that there might be a mandatory vaccine because of this. What happened to natural immunity? So those are my two questions for this.
Thanks, Ms. Myers. I guess that would be directed towards the Chester County Health Director.
So thank you for the question. You know, hospitals have stricter requirements around masking. I'm not going to claim that I know every hospital's, requirements around them, but I agree with the, you know, CDC and Dr. Levine's. If you have a breathing condition or other conditions such as mental health or developmental delays, et cetera, that you should not be forced to wear a mask. The recommendation is to really limit their exposure, because they're not wearing a mask, to other individuals and ensure other individuals around them do have a mask on. So I can't speak to the specific hospital requirements. I apologize. And we don't have authority as public health over them. I only caught part of your second question just due to the connection. And I the part that I caught was related to the requirement for a vaccine. If a vaccine is made available, it will not be a mandated vaccine.
Thank you. Senator Kern?
No, and the vaccine's probably a long way off too, isn't it, Jean?
Yeah, I mean, there's different timelines you can see about it, but it's going to take a while, and it's going to take a while to see how effective it is once it is in use.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that that response to a difficult question. Next, let's go to Lise Lansdowne.
Hi, this is Lisa. My question is, I was working, I got laid off due to this COVID, and I applied for unemployment, and they denied me. And I know they say appeal. The only way you can appeal is to fax, and I don't have a fax machine. They say you can do it online, but when I try to submit online, you can't submit because it's a PDF. So how am I about this? Because there's nothing open that I could go fax them this paper.
Got it. Where do you, you're in East Lansdowne?
Yes.
So, Tim, is that, that's, well, you, that's, right?
That's my district, East Lansdowne. Yeah. We're happy to help out with that. You can call our office at 610-544-6120. We'd be happy to, one of our great constituent service people will get to walk you through the process to get there. And then they'll know the specifics about, you can tell them why you were denied, and we can figure out the best way for you to move forward.
Great.
Okay.
So I'd also, just for the benefit of the record, for the question, who are the organizers? There's five conveners of the Delaware County Black Caucus. Councilman William Felder from Sharon Hill, Council President Latoya Monroe, Malcolm Yates, who's working for the Congresswoman, and Councilwoman Sharon J. Booker are the conveners of the Black Caucus of to date. And our next question is going to come from Ms. Latoya Monroe.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Thank you for posting and taking this call and my question. One thing that I've learned throughout this pandemic is really how the disparities within the African-American community have been just highlighted as far as, like, access to health care, access to quality food. It's really highlighted all of our deficiencies within our communities. And I'm just wondering, as elected officials, what is it that you can suggest that we can do on a local level to create that equity and access and additional support for the community?
That's pretty much an open question to everybody.
Yes, and thank you.
Mm-hmm. How about Mary Kirkland? Do you want to take a shot at that?
Well, I missed part of the question. Could you, and I hate doing this, could you repeat the question again?
Well,
I missed part of it.
I said, what is it that we can do? What is it that we can do to create equity and access and have additional support for the communities of color that have been highlighted? That, you know, when our disparities have been highlighted with this process.
Well, I think what we can do is what we did today. First of all, we have to show other communities that we can fix and work within our own communities to make things right. We wait on others to come in and help fix our situation. And sometimes folks just simply drag their feet. We wanted to have testing in our city for quite some time and asked for it for quite some time, and it didn't happen. And so what happened was African Americans got together with the black doctors, with our local labor 413 and our local elected officials, and said, if we're going to do something, if we're going to save someone, we have to save ourselves. And so others came to test, and they saw how successful it was. And being that they saw how successful it was, when people see success, they gravitate to that. And so now we have others who want to reach out and find out not only how can they be of help to communities of color, but how can they duplicate what we've done today? And so sometimes we just have to step out and, on faith and do what we need to do to save our sinking ship. And when people see your ship rise, they want to duplicate that and be supportive of that.
Thank you. Tim, you're next. Tim, your question's up. Your turn.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Mayor, for that. I think we should go over to Upper Darby now and talk to talk with Tom McCullough. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. As a CNA that I work at Fair Acres, I just got out of the hospital last Tuesday with the COVID virus, and we've been working short staff, and they've been expecting the staff to stay over for the next shift to help out. With everything that's going on now, are we going to be able to get more help from the National Guard? What's going to happen with and testing and stuff out in Fair Acres? Because we definitely didn't have enough equipment because I got the virus from one of the residents. And since I was out on my floor alone, at least five people have passed away from the virus.
Wow.
Well, that's really, Tom, that's terrible. And we're really happy to hear that you kind of recovered at this point. I think I'm going to start with this one just by saying that the governor just today came out with new guidelines about basically saying that we're going to try to test everybody who's in all of our long-term care communities, both the residents and the people who work there, so we can start to get our arms around the problem specifically. I mean, it's been a struggle for us all along, trying to get enough tests and trying to get enough information people. I think I'd like to ask Jean to pop in on this as well. Jean?
Yes, thank you. You know, Fair Acres, among other congregate care, they're super difficult situations right now. I know Fair Acres has, we have an investigator that works with the facility, but there's never enough you can do in these types. And we actually just spoke to the state, I want to say it was about 2 days ago, seeking approval to do exactly what the governor just announced, to expand testing regardless of symptoms to the long-term care facilities and other personal care homes, and use that information to guide the staff on how to better position the residents as well as the staff. So we got a favorable response. We are communicating with all of the long-term care facilities and offering them an opportunity to increase their testing with some guidance and hope that they take us up on it. I mean, we can't force them to do it. I know Fair Acres is a county-owned facility and would be interested in doing it because I know their council is very vested in that facility as a resident staff.
Thank you. So there are multiple questions that I'm going to consolidate. So I will name them, but there's two different questions. One, as you would describe it, an urban legend, is the Postal Service going to go on strike? And the other one, though, is about testing locations. So Ralph Kitchen from Sharon Hill, Ron Stewart from Sharon Hill, and there's one other, I can't see the name. They're all asking about additional testing sites in this section of Delaware County. They're specifically asking about Sharon Hill, but, you know, there happened to be one in Chester. So the question, two parts. One is for the congresswoman about the Postal Service going on strike, and the second one is about testing sites across more in this section of Delaware County.
So with respect to the Postal Service, I don't think we're close to a strike right now. We did have a lot of concerns about whether or not our postal workers had enough masks and gloves and hand sanitizer so that they could be safe while they're performing the essential function of getting our mail to us. But it seems like that's a little bit better now. Senator Carney and I were part of a group that helped convert some of our distilleries in Pennsylvania to making hand sanitizer, and the Postal Service sent a contract to those local distilleries. So I don't think the problem is with the workers, it's with the federal government. There's a really bizarre quirk in the statute that governs the Postal Service that requires them to pre-fund all their pensions, and as a result, it's made it financially unstable. The White House has it in for the post office and wants it to fail, thinks that FedEx should take over. Although, as someone said, just try putting a 55-cent stamp on a FedEx envelope and getting anything delivered. So that is why we are putting more money in the next package for the Postal Service, because we know how important it is for everything from delivering prescriptions to checks to mail-in ballots.
Absolutely. Then the other question was about the testing in this area, Madam Director.
Sure. So I know when the mobile testing is established, and the goal is within 5 to 10 days have that up and running. My understanding from the council is the first three areas will be Upper Darby, Chester City, and Yeadon, and then they will literally progress throughout various other communities based on population, how many has been tested relevant to the population size. So I don't have the full list. I just know those are the first three in order. And they're determining how long they stay in each area before they move on. But I anticipate it'll be at least a day or two of just solid, much like you saw with the Black Doctors of Philadelphia, solid back-to-back testing to try to get in as many as possible.
Great. Can you repeat the areas again? I'm sorry.
Upper Darby, Chester City, and Yeadon.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tim?
Great. Well, let's shift gears a little bit, although we're going back to Sharon Hill. I think William Moore is on the line. He's got a very interesting question.
William, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, William, you're
on.
Can you hear
me? Oh, hi, how are you? I'm sorry. I was calling one of my questions, I want to say thank you, everybody, for taking the time to do this town hall. I appreciate it. But one of those questions I had was about unemployment. So I've applied for unemployment as an independent contractor, and I applied for unemployment as a actual W-2 employee. And I was denied on both accounts, and I've appealed, you know, one of them. But it's just to the point where I'm not sure on, you know, what guidance or what I should do, because I'm a licensed real estate agent for Pennsylvania. I've actually done a lot of work in Chester. Actually, I have a house going to settlement, but we can't get the tax certifications for the title company to go. And my unemployment claim was denied, citing that I don't qualify for unemployment because I'm an independent contractor. So I was recommended to file for pandemic unemployment. And when I went to go apply for pandemic unemployment, they said, no, I don't qualify because I'm working at Amazon. Because with everything going on, I needed money to come in order to have money, you know. I still have a lot of bills piling up, and I still have things that need to be paid. And so, you know, I, you know, went out, got a job at Amazon to bring in some money, and now I don't qualify for either one, is what I'm being told by the unemployment people. I've sent in an appeal, and I don't know how long that's going to take.
So you're in Sharon Hill?
Yes, I'm in Sharon Hill.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take that. One, you know, it's going to require more than just this phone conversation. So let me give you my number and those others who may want to write it down. My office is 215-492-2980. Again, 215-492-2980. Please call. I have staffer on this line right now who are listening. We're going to follow up with you because your number showed up with us. But you bring up a very complicated issue, and that is, well, first of all, the PUA system has been down forever. It was down because the state government and the administration before this one didn't invest in it, so it's very antiquated, and it just went back up with challenges. So I apologize on behalf of us, but we will certainly look into it. The other part that you just mentioned, and I don't have the answer to it, is that because you're responsible, you decided not to wait for your unemployment check, but rather to go to work. Now, there has to be a gap when you were not employed, which may relate to some other questions about the unemployment that I probably can't resolve tonight. So let us follow with regard to that. And anyone listening who went and got a job but were unemployed for a period of time, the question would be, what happens during that period of time you were unemployed, and what can we do about it? On the federal side, you know, Congresswoman, you may want to respond to that. I'm not sure, does that affect any portion of the unemployment process that you're aware of, or the $1,200?
It shouldn't affect the $1,200 as long as they're within the income limits. You know, what we've been hearing from everyone is you just have to be super persistent with the unemployment office because, as the senator said, they're underfunded. But as you sort through that, I would keep trying. And I'm wondering if they gave you a false rejection on the pandemic unemployment, because that's supposed to cover independent contractors, as you know. So I think I would just be real persistent. If the senator's office can't help you, maybe we can push as well. But we found that the state representatives have been having a lot better success with the unemployment compensation board. Yeah.
We have about 5 minutes left, I think. Tim, you're going to pick the question, and then we're going to. I might pick a question, and we're going to close out. Okay.
Well, we have a Jocelyn Jones from Sharon Hills on the line with a voting question.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi there. How are
you? I would like to question about, are there going to be polling sites, or everything is supposed to be by mail? And how are we to trust the mailing system submitting a vote by mail?
Great question. I'm laughing. I'm chuckling for a reason, because Tim and I are members of the same Democratic caucus, and, you know, we were pretty strong advocates of vote by mail, but there are some hindrances to it. One, trust. And, you know, you don't sound the age or generation of me or my grandparents. They definitely don't trust. That said, understand something. And I don't know what the numbers are in Delaware County. And Tim, please add on. But there's going to be consolidation of polling places. And so, for instance, I represent Philadelphia and Delaware County. I found out of the 630-plus polling places in Philadelphia, there are only going to be 200. I'm not sure where they're going to be. In Delaware County, you're going to have a reduction. So you may think you're going to be able to get up that day and go vote, but probably won't be located in the same place. Vote by mail, the deadline, I think, is the 28th. I'm not quite sure what the date is. But you have up to that point to, you know, apply for your vote by mail ballot. And I would strongly suggest anyone who can do that, please do it. It's very simple online to do it. But we know there are some who do not and will not. The issue of trust, I can't, and I don't think anybody can convey to you that there are not questions about any process. And I would only suggest to you that even with the traditional process that you go through when you go to a polling place, you cast your vote, sometimes those votes have been questioned. And so you're right to be vigilant. You're right to ask questions. But I would encourage you, if you really want to have an impact in this election cycle, get as many as your friends and family to request their online ballots so they won't be surprised on election day when they have challenges voting. Tim, did you want to add anything to that?
Sure. I would just add that vote by mail is not a new thing. There are several states that have been doing it for the last 5 or even 10 years. And with better outcomes in terms of, you know, getting people to actually vote, that's our biggest challenge, isn't it? Getting people to actually come out on election day and vote. But the short answer to your first question is that, yes, there will be polling places open. It's going to be a real challenge to find people to work at those polling places. I mean, you know, when you go to the polling place, chances are pretty good that it's a senior citizen who's taking care of you. And those are our most vulnerable people. And our next election is going to be coming up. We're nine times, looks like very, very good chance that we'll still be in the red. And it'll be, we'll still be trying to do as much social distancing as everything else as we can. So, I always encourage everybody to vote. The vote by mail seems to be a really great way. And this election is coming up in early June. You know, is our last chance to really test these things out before a very, very, very important election in November.
Thank you. We
and
only have a few more. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can I just add one thing? It's Congresswoman Scanlon. So the deadline is May 18th to request the mail-in ballot. But there is a really great function on the Pennsylvania state site. It's pavoterservices.pa.gov. You can track your ballot, so you can see if they've received your request. You can see if they've mailed out your ballot, and I think you can see if they've received it back. So hopefully that'll help a little bit with the trust. but I'm really looking forward to being able to send mine in from home as opposed to trying to get there before I head out to the office in the morning or after I get home at night, because it seems like I'm always rushing. So please consider the vote by mail.
So we only have a few minutes left. I want to say to all of you who are joined in and asked questions, please, we're going to save those questions and try to respond to them as effectively as possible. There is a question, and what I'm going to ask is our guests in reverse order, the mayor, the health director, our congresswoman, Senator Carney, please make closing comments. Congresswoman, by the way, there is a constituent, Gary Buford from Chester, who's been on the line for 42 minutes. We couldn't get to him. He wants to get in contact with you to give you suggestions and advice about the coronavirus, so you might want to leave with him in your closing comments how you can do that. Mayor?
Thank you, Senator, and thank both of you for your hosting this tonight. This is very informative, and it's an opportunity for us to reach out and touch someone by way of this teleconference. Information, factual information, so helpful to so many, and appreciate the opportunity to be able to share. We're going through a storm right now. But we'll get through this by working together and pushing each other in the right direction and helping each other. You know, God has a plan in all this, and I think the plan is to say to people, I need you to work together. I need you to look out for the least of these. I need you to be willing to stand for what is righteous and what is right. And he's going to get us through this, and we're going to come out, I believe, better elected officials, better communities, better people all around. So the thing is being able to share and communicate and work together and get the job done. So I just want to thank you guys and all of you and ladies for joining us tonight and making this happen.
Madam Director?
I'm going to, yeah, thank you. I couldn't say it better. I'm going to ditto on what the mayor had said. And I want to remind people that there's a lot of good coming out of this. So I know these are difficult times, but I encourage you to celebrate the successes and the positive that is coming out of it, because it is everywhere from the smallest of households to the largest of communities. So let's not lose sight of that, and let's make sure those come to the forefront while also pushing on the, you know, systemic things that we really do need to stay on top of. So thank you, and everyone have a safe and healthy evening.
Thank you. Congresswoman?
Yes, I just wanted to thank you all again. I think it's been one of the things that has really stood out about Pennsylvania's response, and I know this from talking to folks around the country, is the way that our state and local and federal officials are working together. I mean, I hear from you when there's problems, you hear from me when there's problems, and we've been able to work together to get better results for people right here in Delaware County. And it's just, that is such a blessing and such a reward, and hopefully for everyone. Mr. Buford, if you want to talk about things, if you can contact our office, again, the phone is 610-626-2020. Or you can also send an email if you go to scanlon.house.gov. That's the website, and then there's a way to send an email. And the last thing I would just ask for people to remember to send in their census if they haven't done it yet. You can do it by phone, you can do it by mail, you can do it online, but it's really, really important because we're going to need that money for all the things we've talked about tonight, for healthcare and for education and for getting better broadband services and helping our communities. It all means money for the state and for our local services. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Carolyn. And to my partner in doing good and hopefully providing hope, Senator Carney.
Thank you, Senator Williams. What great guests. Those are the Congresswoman and the mayor and the director are just wonderful. And great sources of information. You know, I just wanted to make a comment quickly about the Delaware County Black Caucus and how important I think it is. I won't bring up the fact that I tried to join and Tony wouldn't let me, but but I am a supporter. But what's really important is that you know, people do actually come together to work for the things that they think are important to them. We've seen it in the history of our country that some of our greatest societal changes occurred after things like the stuff we're going through right now. And so we need to hold our officials, you know, we need to hold their feet to the fire about this. We really need to use this as an opportunity to correct some of the wrongs that have been foisted upon, in particular, people of color in our country over the last 150 years. So keep at it, keep up the advocacy, keep talking to us, keep holding us responsible. Thanks again for everybody for joining us today. And I'm going to let my my friend, Senator Williams, have the last word.
Thank you, Tim. For those who've been on the line, we crossed 700 attendees, so we greatly appreciate that. Understand we are an organization, a small organization of only 2 years. We have 80 members, of which, as you well know, probably 50 of them participate significantly. So this cross-section of listeners and opinion shapers are important to us because we want to reflect your perspectives, not ours. Those who want more about the Delaware County Black Caucus, please go online, delcoblackcaucus.com. And by the way, you know, we have, of the five conveners, four of them are elected officials: Latoya Monroe, William Felder, Sharon Booker, council members, and Malcolm Yates works for the congresswoman. I'm a state senator. So there's all sorts of ways you can get a hold of us in terms of participating. The reason why this is very important is because policy is shaped by these discussions. Without your comments, without your perspective, without your input, policy will be shaped for you. But if you provide your voice, you email, you call, you scream, you shout, you protest, whatever you do, policy will be shaped with you. And in this particular space, as we go forward, recognizing the disparities that are part of the pandemic but were there before, we are desirous of, you know, laying groundwork for a true understanding of the health situation in Pennsylvania, including all of us and certainly those of us from this community. Tonight has meant the world to all of us. Thank you for the organizers and who did their work behind the scenes, who made this possible, because there were a lot of people, Dawn Chavu, consultants, my staff and Tim's staff, and many others who participated, and certainly the conveners and the members of the caucus who got word out to others. We thank you for your hard work and your diligence. May you remain healthy, safe, and protected. God bless you, and thank you very much.